Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. Today, I am a bit late. It is, what day is it today? Sunday, March 24th. I'm sorry I couldn't get this episode out on Friday. I had a terrible, terrible migraine last week. It put me behind in recording. So here I am on a Sunday, giving you the news. I mean, if we look at the positive side of it, there's been some updates on some of the news that I was ready to record on Thursday, you know, so that I could release it Friday. So there's been some updates. So we'll have a more updated, you know, episode because some stuff has happened. So my apologies for that. Thank you for your patience and for your kind messages, because some of you did send me a sort of, you know, like feel better message on Instagram. So thank you for that. I'm also releasing my Vanderpump Rules After Show episode 8 recap today. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be coming out today, Sunday as well. And you know, if you're looking for more bonus content, you can check out my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. I, you know, do a bonus episode every week. It's $5 a month. And, you know, example, this week on the bonus episode, I talked about my thoughts on this week's Summer House, my thoughts on the premiere of The Valley. And I also talked about all these buying Beverly Hills clips that are flying around and, you know, stuff that we're seeing with Kyle and Mauricio in those. And just, you know, some of the audacity with that. Yeah. And, you know, I usually talk about my thoughts on the episodes and the drama surrounding the episodes as they come out. So yeah, check it out. All right, so let's get into, oh yes, and I also talked about the Potomac trailer for the reunion and just like what the heck is going on with that show, and I don't know, is it going to get canceled? All right, I mean, I guess not, because now we got Karen Huger with a DUI, and that is the first story today, so, oh my God, we can add Karen to our list of Bravo celebrities with a DUI, including Gina from RHOC, Shannon, we got two for one there. Actually, Monique, who used to be on Potomac, had kind of a DUI incident, although she's stuck with the I was tired story, even though Ashley was like, yeah, we had some martinis. Who else? I think Brandy had one, like, way back in the day, too. If you think of anyone else, let me know. But anyways, okay, so I had all this news about it, but there was a very recent update from TMZ. So I'm going to read that first, and then we'll kind of go through other stuff. So Karen Huger was, and I'm reading this from TMZ, was swaying and had a strong odor of alcohol on her breath following her frightening crash Tuesday night. Okay, according to the police report. According to the police report, she had slurred speech, bloodshot eyes when they arrived on scene. She didn't answer when the cops asked her twice how much she had to drink. They noticed she had two closed bottles of alcoholic beverage, Stella, inside her vehicle. That's not good. I mean, you're allowed to have closed alcohol in the back seat, obviously, but it's, you know, when you're drunk, then it obviously it doesn't look good. The report also says that they thought Karen appeared to be intoxicated, but she declined to undergo a field sobriety test or a breathalyzer, which is not a good sign, of course, probably means that she was drunk. Fire rescue responded to the scene. They tried to get her on a stretcher. She refused. She refused medical care. She made it clear she did not want to be recorded when they told her she was on their body cam footage. Ooh, I would like to see that. Okay. And then, you know, she put out a statement, which I'm going to get to. Okay. But overall, you know, the initial report we got that she was driving her Maserati aggressively, really fast for the conditions. She struck a crosswalk sign at an intersection before continuing on and colliding with a parking sign off the roadway, and the airbag did deploy. She wrecked her car so badly it was no longer operable, and a tow truck came to get it. Okay. So she also said in her apology, or I should say she did said, because I haven't, you know, shared it yet, but she said that there was a car coming, like an oncoming, you know, traffic, you know, a car from oncoming traffic coming at her, and she had to swerve to avoid it. However, since then, a security guard who witnessed the whole thing and called the police in the first place has basically a very different story. And there's no mention in the security guard's story of her having to avoid an oncoming car. So, you know, ding, ding, that was a lie. And fire and rescue did respond to the call with an ambulance. And like I said, she refused to go to the hospital or be evaluated. So she has been charged with the DUIs. She's got her apology, so I'm going to read it. And says, you know, thank you for all your prayers and well wishes during this very frightening experience. I am still in shock from last night's incident, but grateful to be alive today. With the passing of my beloved mother, grief comes and goes in waves, and with Mother's Day approaching, it has felt more like a tsunami. Last night, I met a girlfriend for dinner. We talked and brought up some very emotionally sensitive topics. I was crying on my way home and saw a car heading right for me. I swerved to avoid the head-on collision, hit the divider, and then a tree. Huger said, I'm hurt, bruised up a bit, but so grateful I'm alive. I did receive citations, one of which was unrelated to the incident, which is understandable. But what was most surprising is that the car that almost hit me just drove away. Oh, Karen. Karen, it's not good. This is not a good lie to be telling. And now we know that a security guard saw it and says there was no other car coming. We also know that, you know, she appeared intoxicated. And listen, I'm not trying to sound insensitive about the grief thing. Does grief come in waves and can it hit you at any time? Absolutely. But it's not an excuse. Like, there are literally millions, literally almost everyone in the population of the world has dealt with a loss or grief, right? Most people, or a large majority, have, unfortunately. It doesn't excuse driving recklessly, nor does it excuse drinking and driving. Now, she's trying to say that it's why she got into the accident, right? Like, she's trying to avoid the drinking thing altogether. I mean, Karen, it's March. Like, Mother's Day is not till May. So, like, saying Mother's Day's approaching, ooh, it's a stretch. It's a stretch. I'm sorry. And on top of it, like, I've cried and driven before. I mean, the car is a good place to have a good cry. I think a lot of people do that. It's never been like, I'm crying and I can't see, so I hit a... Yeah, like, it's just... She's reaching big time. And again... Mother's Day is not coming up. Okay. Anyways, I can't. Like, it's just Karen is, she's been one of the bigger, I'm just going to say it. She's been one of the bigger liars in Bravo Housewives. I like Karen. I'm a big fan of Karen, but she does lie, right? Like, she's always tried to cover up like her financial stuff. This is not the first time she's been accused of this, of possible drinking problem, alcoholism. I'm just saying, it's not the first time. Who are the biggest liars in Bravo Housewives? Karen does like to lie a lot. I'm going to give her that. Who else likes to lie? Mia likes to lie a lot just because I'm on the Potomac, you know, brain. Yeah, Mia lies a lot. Drew from Atlanta likes to lie a lot. Who else likes to lie a lot? I could make a list. Who else? I'm thinking Orange County. Who are our liars on Orange County? I mean, Gretchen used to lie a lot when she was on the show. At least I felt she did. But like, people who just, they just have a thing with the truth, you know? You know, like all the guys on Vanderpump Rules, obviously. Oh, Sonia on Real Housewives of New York. I get, Sonia does a lot of like lying slash exaggerating, you know? Like, there's just those people that it's like, don't think I could really believe a lot of stuff you say. Okay. So I hope Karen's okay. And I also hope that she gets some help. And this might have secured some of these women who may have been fired another Potomac season. We'll see. Okay. But Robin and Giselle are going to have a freaking field day with this. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Let's talk about Vanderpump Rules, because there's like, I've got like almost a full page of Vanderpump Rules stuff, which is crazy because like not that much is happening on the show, which ironically. Okay. So the reunion filmed. Something happened at the end of the reunion that has never happened before. Now, again, I feel like they're just kind of exaggerating this because, you know, they're trying to get those ratings. And this cast is well-trained when it comes to stuff like this. But, you know, Lala on her podcast kind of makes it sound like maybe it's something between her and Ariana. Like, this is the impression I'm getting from all the interview clips I've seen of Lala, from her podcast clips. And Lala is like on a full press tour as though she's, you know, going through something right now. I don't know what is happening, but she is not shutting up. Like, she needs to take a little media break because I think she's too oversaturated and people are getting really annoyed. But basically, she makes it sound like something happened with her and Ariana. Like, basically, maybe they just admitted that they just don't like each other. I don't know if that's what it is. Now, but that can't be something that's never happened before. That cannot be the first time on Vanderpump Rules we've been at a reunion and two people have said they don't like each other. I just can't believe that. Anyways, either way, it sounds like something with her and Ariana. And then Lala says that she felt so good after, like she got like a weight off her chest. And like she finally got this out and she needed to get it out. And basically she went home, she cried and cried, got it all off. And then she suddenly felt better, called her friends and went out, which we saw because there was like a social media or Instagram video of like Sheena and all of them out together. Then Lala said on her podcast, and then Lala was on The Talk, like the talk show, The Talk, and she confirmed that her and Ariana are not friends and that something did happen between them. Okay. So we shall see. I mean, I know what happened. I don't think it's going to be admitted or spoken about explicitly, but what happened is that Lala is jealous and so Sheena. And they both want, especially Lala. Lala wanted basically what happened to Ariana to happen to her when the whole thing with Rand happened, but like no one cared. But I think it's just they're not the same situation, right? They just aren't. You know, I saw someone who tweeted like, we were all kind of fooled by Sandoval as well. I mean, I wasn't because I always hated him. And there are, you know, a group of people that were just never Sandoval fans, but the majority of the audience, or at least a big chunk, liked Sandoval. Or if you didn't like him, you didn't like him just because you thought he was annoying, like me. I just always thought he was so annoying, right? And then he had like these little moments where he was always like, you know, yelling at the women. Like, I didn't like that. But I also did not think that he would do this to Ariana. So even though I didn't like him, I wasn't a fan, all that kind of stuff, I didn't think that he would cheat on Ariana in this way. And I did think that they were one of the stronger couples, even though I didn't even really like them as a couple that much, but I still thought they were one of the stronger couples. So that's the thing. Like, Sandoval had all of us fooled, right? We all thought he was like one of the quote unquote better guys in the group. Okay, not perfect, but one of the better guys in the group. And we believed kind of in their relationship, right? So that's why it was such a big deal. No one believed in Rand. No one thought Rand was anything but a scumbag. And no one thought he was anything but a cheater. And a guy who finds a hot girl, you know, has a baby or babies with her or marries her and then gets bored and goes to the next one. Of course, that's what everybody thought because that's what he did. So I don't like Lala needs to stop comparing her situation, right? It's going to kill her. She's got to stop doing that. Like, not literally, obviously, but you know what I mean? It's going to kill like her spirit. Okay. So Then Lala said on her podcast, like, she's just coming after Ariana. Again, she's been using Ariana's scandal with Tom to make money, and she's still using Ariana to make money. So she's on her podcast and she's like, if the audience met Ariana and Sheena in real life, we would quote unquote pick her, as in Sheena. Okay, so you admit that Sheena is a pick me, is what you're telling me right now. And I don't think I would, because I'm sure Sheena's lovely in real life. I've heard good things about, you know, from fans, stuff like that. But I've heard the same thing about Ariana. I've heard nothing but good things, and that she's a very nice Bravo Leb. So, okay. Lala then goes on her Instagram. I told you this is like the Lala press tour. Lala then is on her Instagram story. This was just today, so this is a very recent update. I just saw this Sunday morning today. And says, Katie's miserable. Basically says, and I quote, I'm sure if I go back to being miserable, we'll get real thick again. Because I guess the question was like, are her and Katie going to be friends again? Something like that. Like, it was one of those like ask me anything Instagram stories. So yeah, I'm sure if I go back to being miserable, we'll get real thick again. And then she put in brackets, contemplated not posting this because I love her mom. Sorry, Tare. Okay. It's very weird to me because people have thought that Katie was miserable for like the first like 7 or 8 seasons of this show. And now people are seeing Katie in a different light because she's free from Tom Schwartz. She seems much happier. Like, she seems like she's just authentically herself. And she's not like the bubbly, like, you know, giggly type of woman. She's not like Britney. Like she's just not like that. That doesn't mean she's miserable. That's just a personality thing. Right. And it's such a misogynistic thing. Like, people are like, why don't you smile more? Like, shut up. She's just not that type of woman. Right. But again, I don't even think that's what Lala is talking about, but her not wanting to be friends with Tom Sandoval, or like just not jumping to the trusting and forgiving train, that doesn't mean that she's miserable. Like, what I see is Ariana and Katie have freed themselves from these toxic men and this toxic dynamic and have set boundaries and are just living their lives. And that's it, right? And I'm sorry. Like, it's like, I think Lala is just pissed because I think Lala wants the show to keep going. She wants in some way for like everyone to just move on. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the show. Maybe she's scared it's going to get canceled. I don't know. Right. But it's coming from some kind of fear. At least I feel that it is. And I think she's just kind of pissed that Katie's not like giving in as easily. Right. And it's like, you don't have to forgive and be best friends with everyone who wrongs you. You can just cut someone out of your life and move on. It's okay. Like, is Lala ever gonna fully forgive Rand and think he's a good person? No, and she doesn't have to. She can co-parent with him and they can have, you know, maybe a civil co-parenting relationship, and that's it. Like, that doesn't make Lala miserable. That makes her smart, right? That makes a person like, okay, you've shown me who you are and we don't need to keep toxic people around, right? And Katie, Ariana, they don't have kids with these guys, so they don't really need to keep them around. Anyways, to me, it's giving the Lala's miserable. Not even miserable, it's giving scared, right? Like, I almost get the impression like she's scared of like this kind of unknown future, right? Like, they don't know if the show is going to keep going. They don't know if it's going to work unless the group is back, and it might not work if the group's not back, right? She doesn't know if like she'll get transferred over to the Valley. Like, I think there's a bit of a fear of the unknown, and she's kind of blaming Katie and Ariana like, oh, they're not putting in enough effort and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what I'm getting from it. Okay, let's talk about Rachel, my other favorite person. Okay, so Rachel names everyone who knew what was going on during Scandoval. And it's basically, I don't know, not groundbreaking, not surprising, and it's just, you know, she tried and it flopped, let's just say. So Tom Schwartz. Okay, thanks. Kyle Chan, who, okay, yeah, he's like Tom Sandoval's best friend. Okay. Tom's mom. Ooh, shocking. Max, who I guess used to be, remember Max Boyens? He was on the season for like one season. Sheena will, and probably did at some point, refer to him as her best friend. Okay, Jason, I don't want to pronounce it like Bador, but is it Bador? Badder? It's B-A-D-O-R. Okay, so Tom's band manager. Okay, so somebody who's getting paid by Tom New. Logan Cochran. So that one is, people were like, because Logan is friends, obviously, is like Ariana's best friend. And Brad Kearns, who I think is also one of Ariana's friends. Okay, so by the way, Logan has responded. Because, okay, Rachel doesn't know that Logan knows. She's assuming he knows. And then she tells the story that they were having a big party at their house and says her and Tom were like on the floor in the social media room, like lying on the floor. And she says cuddling, whatever that means, right? That means he could have had his arm around her. I don't know. And Logan walked in and was like, this is, and I wrote the exact quote down. Oh, I'm really messed up. Okay, bye. Okay, so, and I went back and listened like three times. Oh, I'm really messed up. Okay, bye. Okay, so was he sober? It was during a party. So he walks in, sees you guys on the floor in the middle of the social media room where they're at a party. There's lots of people around. So he probably thought it was nothing, because who would do that so blatantly in like a room that a lot of people can come in and out of? And he was, and he said, and she quoted, I'm really messed up. Okay, bye. So like, was he like, it's just so dumb. And then Logan went on his Instagram story and was, and basically was like, yeah, I do have a memory of that. And I just thought it was like nothing. He's like, we were all like a close group of friends. Like people would like sit closely. Like he's like, I didn't think of anything and I just left. Like, so yeah. So it was a big fat nothing burger as usual. And then Max came out and he also posted that basically like Rachel is still talking about the show, trying to get clout from it. She needs to shut up. And like, he was pissed. And that, you know, like, stop trying to drag me into other people's issue, which I don't know, like what her listing these people, I don't know what it does. Like, I don't know what the end goal is. Like, does this mean it's okay? Does this prove that everybody, including Ariana, knew and this was all a big conspiracy? It doesn't prove that. The majority of the people you listed are Tom's people. And then one who is an Ariana person has already kind of called it out. And then Rachel's like, we went to St. Louis. I met his family. And she's like, it was like I was his girlfriend. I'm like, just because you felt like that in your head doesn't make it a reality. And again, that's Tom's family, blood. They have no choice but to take his side. And then Brad, who's also someone who's close to Ariana, by the way, she even admits she doesn't know if Brad knew. She says he must have had an inkling something was going on. She's like, it wasn't hard to piece together. Again, it's Rachel like being, it seems like she's mad at everyone because they didn't figure it out. Same thinking as Tom Sandoval. That's why I have no sympathy for this girl. She has the same type of thinking as Sandoval. He's like, Ariana, like, why didn't, she should have known. She should have like followed me. Like, you, no, you can't put, so, oh, I'm sorry. Your friends trusted you. They are such losers. I can't believe they trusted you. Like, that's basically what she's saying and what Tom has said. Sheena on her podcast, because we got more, again, remember if you listen to my Vanderpump Rules recap, this is why Ariana didn't tell people about Chicago and Dancing with the Stars. This cast cannot shut up, okay? So Sheena on her podcast talks about the comment that she made about Ariana as a backup dancer. It was just meant as a joke. And then she says, and I quote, it was meant to be self-deprecating. Girl, look up self-deprecating. I don't think it means what you think it means. She also had a recent episode where she was like answering listener questions about what happened season 3 when she warned Ariana's mom about Tom Sandoval. And, you know, she's like answering these listener questions. She's talking still so much about Ariana and Tom. And I just want to say, I'm just saying this for the record, still making money off of her friend's breakup. Just saying. So I also saw on Reddit that apparently Schwartz no longer follows Joe. Although now it seems like he's refollowed her. I don't know if it's because people on Reddit figured it out, but basically a commenter commented on like one of Joe's posts and was like, oh, you know, Schwartz is, I don't have the exact quote, but the story is Schwartz is a bad guy and, you know, led her on. And then basically Joe replied with agreed. So yeah, doesn't pay to, you know, take men's side when it comes to these types of situations. I hope Joe realizes, because guess what? They will always stick together and screw you over too, just like they did with Rachel, just like they are now with Joe, and just like they will with any woman in the future. There's also a bartender. So the bartender at Sandoval's like sexy singles party or whatever has spoken out on TikTok. So if you see her on episode 8, she's labeled as one of Tom's friends. So she's like shaking a martini shaker and it says Tom's friend. So she's gone to TikTok to tell everyone that she is not Tom's friend, that she was actually a hired bartender. And also she didn't get paid. So she's calling him out for not paying her, which why am I not surprised? Meanwhile, we have all these people in the audience of like, why didn't Ariana just accept Tom buying her out? You think this guy can afford to buy out Ariana at market value? He can't even pay the bartender. Come on. Also, Allie has a new song. She's leaning into her Taylor Swift dreams. This is not a huge story. I just wanted to point out that Sheena is in the music video and the song's called Girls Girl. Are you going to have a song called Girls Girl and have Sheena in the video? Like, are Rachel and Joe in the video too? Like, come on, Allie. I like you. Let's get real here. Okay. We have some Valley news. So if you didn't watch The Valley, you should. You're making a mistake. It's really good. I've only watched one episode. And no, this is not sponsored. They did not contact me or anything like that. I watched it. It was freaking good, okay? I'm sorry. It's a dumpster fire mess, and I loved every moment of it. So we know Jesse and Michelle are separating after filming one season, and you will watch the first episode, and you will know exactly why they separated. This guy is, he does not seem like a good guy. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a fan. They were together for 6 years. So they've been married for 6 years, I think together longer than that. They did not walk the red carpet at the Valley premiere, and they do have a 3-year-old daughter, which is sad. But Jesse said in his quote, it is very hard to have a baby during the pandemic. No grandparents or people to help. It takes a toll on a couple. And also there's a major storyline about our life where I try to work on myself throughout the entire summer and to be the very best version of myself. And if the best version of myself aligned with the best version of herself, then our marriage would make it. People evolve. If your marriage and relationship doesn't evolve with it, it will never work, no matter how bad you want it. I mean, I can agree with that. The part about the pandemic, I can't. Can the pandemic and having a baby during the pandemic have a toll on your marriage? 1,000%. Okay. I had a toddler during the pandemic. Home all the time, both parents home all the time. It was very difficult. Yes. I know I have tons of friends. I have at least 10 friends who had babies during the pandemic. They are all still with their person. They are all still happy. Again, are there also another 10 people somewhere out there who got divorced because of the pandemic or whatever? Yes. But it's not because of the pandemic. It's because the relationship was already fractured and already had issues. What happened during the pandemic, and especially when you have a baby during the pandemic, is it brings it out, right? And you'll see that watching Jesse and Michelle. You'll see he has no interest in this relationship too. Like, it's like he's trying to get out of it with some of the stuff he says. I did a recap of my thoughts and went through some of the stuff that happened on the first episode on my Patreon. So if you want to hear more about it, I also talk about, you know, Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, buying Beverly Hills and some of the Mauricio Kyle stuff for this week's bonus episode. So it's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. But Michelle said, people said when you watch the show, you're going to realize how you guys actually are, because when you're in it, you don't actually know. That's true. Taking a step back and looking at myself, I'm like, wow, it's so obvious we have marital issues. Okay. I mean, to me, her statement is a lot less like trying to save face. His, like, the whole best version of myself, and I don't know. And I was working on myself all summer. I mean, if the first episode is any clue as to how much he was working on himself, I'm going to say that he wasn't. Brittany had an interview with ET and said that her and Jack splitting up is not about cheating. It was about fighting, which, I mean, anything could be true, but I think it was probably about both. And then Jax, quote, blames his brain for not being a good person and causing the split. Jax has not changed at all. Like, remember on his last season of Vanderpump Rules, he's like, my brain is broken. I'm like, yes, Jax, we get it. We get you might have mental illness problems, like a lot of other people. That's not an excuse to treat your wife like garbage and to cheat. Like, it's... okay. Let's talk about the reality reckoning a little bit. Because a couple little things have come out, nothing like that groundbreaking. I almost just want to mention them because they're kind of so embarrassing. So Brandy says that the last time she was on Watch What Happens Live, the show stopped for 10 minutes so Jenny McCarthy could take a bathroom break. That's it. She said it's the only time that that's ever happened in all her times being on Watch What Happens Live. Okay, maybe she had to go number two. Maybe she ate something. Maybe her bra strap broke. Maybe she got a call from her kids and there was some, like, what? Like, clearly Brandy's trying to say it so she could go do coke with Andy, seemingly. But she doesn't even say that Andy was gone for 10 minutes. She just says Jenny McCarthy. So what? Even if Jenny McCarthy went to go partake in some illegal activity, what the hell does that have to do with your lawsuit? Like, it's just so, like, these, like, it's a reach. Leah's lawsuit also claims that Andy sometimes, and I'm not even making this up, guys, you're going to be shocked. Like, if you're driving, you should pull over, because Andy sometimes smokes cigarettes when he's drunk. I mean, Leah's going to win this lawsuit, right? This is shocking. And then Leah's like going around in an interview saying, like, the truth is on her side and she's not scared because she knows the truth and she's got the truth behind her. And she keeps saying that. Okay, so what's the truth? You already put the stuff in your lawsuit about the toxic environment and describing how you felt pressured to drink, although then saying you didn't feel pressured, and then the possible coke use, etc. So you left, like, the most shocking, salacious, like, truth stuff out of the lawsuit? That doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't it be in the lawsuit? Isn't that the whole point? Like, if you have something to say, Leah, say it. Just say it. Because all this, like, you know, tiptoeing around is, like, everyone's calling your bluff, including me, and I don't see her sort of combating that. She just, it's like she's trying to do, like, the Kyle and Morgan. She just keeps teasing it. Like, we might be together, we might not be together, right? It's like, I might have a secret, I might not have a secret. There might be something really big. You just wait. Something's coming. Like, it's annoying. Okay, so let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Anna Marie was fired from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I'm going to read her statement. Okay. And I have some thoughts on said statement. Okay, so Anna Marie posted, I'm disappointed is an understatement. I think she meant to say I'm disappointed is an understatement, because that's, like, the saying. But anyways, I never auditioned for this show. I don't know why she started. Sorry, right off the bat, I have to say something. she starts with that as though I didn't even want to be on this show. So who are you guys to fire me? You should be begging for me to come back. Like, it's like, she probably feels like the show bait and switched her. Like, you know, when you start dating someone and you're not really that into them and then you start to like them, but then they change their mind about you and you're like, what the hell? I didn't even like you. Like, that's kind of what Anna Marie is trying to do. But she should be grown up and adult enough to know that it doesn't matter whether you auditioned or not. It's their business. It's their show. They can fire you whenever they want. Okay, so I never auditioned for this show. The show found me.
Ooh, you're so cool.
Okay, and asked me to be on it out of the blue 6 weeks after the cast had already started filming. Okay, cool. Like, again, this is all meaningless. This doesn't mean anything. I was thrown into filming 2 weeks later, mid-season. I was very excited about the opportunity, and I thought following exactly what I was instructed to do throughout filming last season was the way the game was played. Listening to what I was instructed to do was my rookie mistake. Okay, that's good that she realized that. What I am disappointed about is that the fans never got to see the real me or even a glimpse of my unique life story. Contrary to what was shown on TV, I am not obsessed with the esophagus. LOL. Okay, what I want to say about this part is that she keeps talking about to listening to what she was told, etc. Is that Kyle? Is that what she's talking about? Because I really think it is. Like, Kyle got her, she came on as Kyle's quote-unquote friend. Kyle got her all into this, like, Sutton drinking, Sutton esophagus storyline, and she kept going with it even after Kyle and Sutton had kind of reconciled. It was almost like Kyle forgot to tell her, and then she got raked through the coals for it. So I do, and Kyle is the type that, like, once something backfires, she will totally throw you under the bus. Like, Kyle was even like, I didn't even know her that well. What are you talking about? I didn't tell her to say that stuff. Like, that's so Kyle. So I do think, I mean, maybe she was referring to production, but I think it was Kyle. Again, just my opinion. I could be wrong. So then she says, what I am is a woman, a proud Black woman who is truly blessed with a wonderful, strong Black man as my husband, who lifts me and our four wonderful children up with so much love and positivity. It was my mission to show a solid Black family unit and that true Black love exists, even in Beverly Hills. Okay, so all that's fine. And then she talks about her struggle of losing her mom to lung cancer and all that. So I guess what she's trying to say is, like, she's upset that we didn't see more of that. And then she thanks the fans who saw past what was portrayed, etc. Until we meet again, thank you. Okay. Now, here's the thing, though. I have been hearing that a lot of that actually she kind of got a good at it, because there was stuff about, like, her talking about, like, Candace Owens, like, stuff discussed about, like, her husband's, like, anti-trans tweets and stuff like that. They also, you know, didn't talk about, like, her husband's rape allegations. So, you know, maybe Anne-Marie, maybe you got a better edit than you thought. Okay, so a source, quote unquote, tells TMZ that Kyle and Mauricio have no chance of reconciling and are dragging it out for TV. Okay. Is the source like all of Twitter and social media? Because we've been saying that. No one cares. Like, it was like when I saw that news story last week on my feed, I was like, is this for real? Like, do they really, is this really a news story? And that's everyone was just clowning it and no one cares. Then there was another news story that came out the next day, pretty much. Kyle Richards finally hired divorce lawyers. Mauricio doesn't want the divorce, but knows he can't stop it, according to Us Weekly source. Again, the story was on my feed, but I only saw it once. And when there's a big story, like with Karen Huger and the DUI, it's like my whole feed is Bravo stuff. Twitter, Instagram, all Bravo. And if there's a big story, it is all I will see. This Kyle officially hiring divorce lawyers, I saw it once and then I had trouble even finding it again. Kyle fumbled this so bad. Like, do I think she got divorced just for a storyline? Absolutely not. But do I think that she saw what happened with Scandoval and was like, well, I'm going through this anyways. So, and then tried to kind of manufacture it in her own way? Yes, I do. But she just fumbled it so bad. Like now when the actual divorce and stuff is happening, everyone is so tired of it that no one cares. Like it's like Heather and the black guy. Like you keep dragging it out and dragging it out. Eventually people are just sick of hearing about it. Okay. So Dorit also in an interview says Crystal is a bold-faced liar. In reference to Dorit being late for the reunion, Crystal stands by it. Crystal's like, you were late. Like, just own it. And Dorit says, you know, Crystal's desperately trying to secure another season. I mean, I would kind of say that about Dorit as well, because Dorit's got some storyline potential, but she doesn't really have friends on the cast, which that could be a recipe for getting fired. Sutton shades Kathy over her reunion comments. Like she posted a pic of her and Jennifer Tilly and she captioned it, "When your real friend knows you're not that great of an actress," and really got sick. Now, all that being said, Sutton and Kathy seem fine. They posted a video together at some event and they're like, you know, they did like a live and they're like talking and about how they're friends and they just like, they seemed like happy and like they were having fun. Kathy even like posted that she loves Sutton and their friends. So sorry, I had a hiccup. So it's like, yeah, I think they're fine. Like they had, even when Kathy was like at the reunion, I thought people made way too big of a deal of Kathy being like, I was going to come after her next. I think she was just going to question her. Like, why would you maybe like tell people that we had an argument or whatever it was? Like, I never thought it was that deep. And I could kind of tell that they didn't either. So I don't know. I think seems like they're fine. Okay. Let's talk about Nini and Portia. So Nini put out this video last week that was like 7 minutes long or something, basically calling out Portia. So basically I'm going to give you a quick overview. Nini got a job, right? Like an acting job. And it was supposed to be her and another housewife, former housewife. And then she found out it was Portia. And she was like, great. I like Portia. We get along. We go on double dates. Like, I guess Nini and her boyfriend and Portia and Simon would go on dates. But then I guess the day that they're filming, they get there and Portia's not there. And Nini's like, what's going on? And then the production goes to Nini and basically is like, she's not coming. Because she says, you know, you two have like a beef or you two are not getting along. She doesn't want to work with you, like something along those lines. And Nini's like, what? And Nini says she's confused. I don't understand. Like there's nothing wrong between us. So then they ask, we're going to reach out to some other former Real Housewives. Is there anyone that you have an issue with or that you don't get along with? You know, and they start like naming people. Like Kenya, Kim Fields, whatever. And Nini's like, no, I'm fine with all of them. They end up bringing in Cynthia Bailey. They do it. Everything works out fine. The end. But I guess Nini was pissed because Nini was like, you know, as a black woman in the entertainment industry, Nini's like, what I don't need is for there to be more, you know, chitter chatter about her being like difficult to work with. Like it's already a dangerous stereotype. And Nini was feeling like Portia's making it even worse for like a fellow black woman in the entertainment industry by saying that they have some issue. And she's like, even if we do have an issue, like you don't tell the production that, right? Because it, you know, you get it, I guess in this business, you can easily get a reputation, right? So that's why Nini released this video, because she was mad about that. And Nini's like, even if we did have a problem, we're professionals, we can work together, right? So I guess Nini texted Portia before she put this video up and was like, what are you talking about? Like, what issue do we have, et cetera? And Portia was like, well, you never reached out to me with my divorce from Simon. And Nini's like, well, I didn't even know or necessarily know if that was real. Like, you know, sometimes people are just having problems and they're mad at each other and they release. She's like, I didn't know if it was a fight. And I guess Nini says in the video, like, I didn't, you know, want to like intrude on her business at that time, like when it was announced. So whatever. Now, whether you think Nini should have reached out or not is one thing. Either way, I don't think, like, I do agree with Nini in the sense that, like, Portia, you know, you have to have that level of professionalism and you can affect someone's career. And it is kind of already hard for Nene to get work. At least that's the impression that I get because of everything with Bravo. So it's like, she doesn't need someone else adding that kind of like difficult reputation. So then we got some text messages. Okay. Hey, Portia, I hope you're... So this is Nene. Hey, Portia, I hope you're doing well. I am shocked to hear that we have issues and you didn't want to work with me. Wow. Just wow. We have double dated a few times. Vegas, Miami. It's sad to hear. We've hung out in Dubai. You were texting me about housewives. This is sad. We are Black women that need to work, not stop each other from working. Then Portia replies, yeah, all of that and through all of this... And this is your first text. So I don't know if something was cut out there, but, and this is your first text. How, who, and how the F do you not even check on quote unquote Lil Sis? Enough said, you chose a side and I'm good with that. People weird as F. I've shown loyalty time and time. I've also shown concern and genuine love during all of your hardships, but I never get it back. It's cool though. When people move differently, so do I. So I guess she's saying that Nene chose Simon's side. And then Nene texts back and writes, you are wrong in every way. You went extremely too far. Nothing you are saying is valid enough to go to a production company and say you do not want to work with Nene because we have issues in the past. I gave you your space. I didn't want to invade your privacy. I didn't want to seem nosy. I wanted to wait until I see you in person. I was excited about working with you. As far as Neone and Simon are concerned, they have their own relationship. So I guess that's Nene's boyfriend and Simon. And I have nothing to do with that. I only speak to Simon and keep it moving. So I guess she's saying like she just talks to him because of her boyfriend, I guess. So in one sense, I can understand how Portia would maybe if Nene's still like kind of talking to Simon, I guess I could see that. I also feel like it's a little bit of a stretch. Because it seems like they were kind of friends because of the couples and that her and Portia have history, but it's not like they're like best friends, you know, where it's like you have to cut the guy off when, I don't know. Like, I understand that. But then also at the same time, even if they were like best friends, I still disagree with Portia like dragging that into their professional life. Like, I have to agree with Nene about that. So then Kenya commented on this and said they offered me the same role. And we know my history with Kim Fields is what she's talking about, because Kenya and Kim Fields do not like each other. And then Kenya says she's a professional and still wanted to work with me. I was booked, but what is for you? No man or housewife for that matter can take it. Keep your head up and others will come. So I guess Kenya's saying like, don't worry, you know, more opportunities will come, right? So yeah, so Kenya's clearly backing up Nene as in like more stuff is going to come. And also, you know, even if you hate someone and you can't get along with them, you can still be professional and work with them, which again, like I have to agree with Kenya here and Nene. So the other thing, though, is that now, since all this drama has come out, Nene went and posted a double date picture of Nene and her man and Simon and his new girlfriend. See, this is why I need Nene back on TV. Now, the other thing I was thinking about is Kenya commenting that. I wonder if that's going to cause drama for Kenya and Portia, because we know they're going to be on the new season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, and they've been friendly. But now Kenya's kind of taking Nene's side. So, you know, all the pieces are falling into place for a good season. Okay. Real Housewives of Miami. Larsa and Marcus are officially broken up, not on speaking terms. And it was confirmed by People Magazine, which usually means it's official. That doesn't mean they won't get back together. But I actually thought this would happen. Like when they broke up the first time, I remember saying, like, even if they get back together, they'll probably break up later this year. Because usually if there's one breakup or break, usually it's like, you know, you think you're going to make it work, but then you realize all the reasons you broke up the first time. Okay. Again, not always, but a lot of the time. Last little kind of small piece of news from Southern Charm World is that Olivia Flowers is not returning, and neither is Rod. Not surprised about Rod, obviously, because he was kind of boring. I mean, I liked him. Like, I liked him, like, as a person, which is probably why he wasn't good on the show. Because, you know, nice, well-adjusted people don't usually make good TV. And Olivia was good because, you know, she was kind of like the victim, you know, amongst villains. But, you know, she's been through a lot. Like, her brother passing away. You know, everything Taylor with her, Taylor, who was like her best friend. And then with Austin, like, I kind of get why she's like, I'm good. Okay. Or maybe they just felt like her storyline didn't have anywhere else to go. Or who knows? Maybe the guys were like, we don't want to film with her. I don't know. So I guess we shall see. We'll see how Taylor's without Olivia around. Okay. I thought we were going to end off, but something new I have just realized that I forgot to mention. In case you didn't hear enough of Lala severing all her friendships and throwing everyone under the bus, there's also a clip floating around now of Lala saying she's a little bummed because she found out about Stassi Schroeder's second pregnancy on social media before Stassi told her.
Oh,
God, it's getting exhausting. Would I be bummed if one of my best friends, if I found out on social media before from them? Yeah, I would be. Do you have to tell the world about it? Like, Stassi's not even on the show anymore. Like, Lala, there's a such thing as too much media saturation, and that is Lala right now. She needs to just shh, you know, just a little bit of shh. Like, does she ever stop? Okay. So thank you so much, everyone. Again, my apologies for the late episode. Thank you for your understanding. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at BravoandBotox and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.